sandwich. Run, I say! Run!
The Guy James Show is on in less than 1 minute.
Life! Life, do you hear me? Give my creation life!
So this was fun.
You're going to like this.
Let go!
Right now!
Well, this is it.
Let's get this over with.
So this is good. We got progress.
Any questions before we proceed?
Begin countdown. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
You have entered the restricted broadcast area. You have entered the restricted broadcast area.
Your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show.
The world is getting older. There's a few things to be said. Do you believe the things they told you? Do you believe the things you read?
The Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
Yes, sirree, Bob. Guy James here, because I'm Guy James and you're not. Coming to you from the blue waters and sandy beaches of beautiful Southwest Florida, you are listening to the Guy James Show here on the Head On Radio Network. Mighty glad to have all of you along with us today. Always a pleasure to join you in the afternoon. What is this on a Thursday afternoon? 3 p.m. Eastern Time for those of you who are listening around the world. You'll get a little opinion here today, a little information. Always factual information, of course. And some tunes from our music director, Billy Shear. So we want to thank Billy for that, and we've got a lot lined up for you today. We hope you'll give us a call sometime during the program when you feel so inclined. You can call us at 866-546-5254, 866-546-5254, and we do hope you'll give us a call and join in on the conversation. Several odds and ends to go over here before we get into the meat of the show today. Did you know this is Jonah Goldberg Day? I'm sure most of you know who Jonah Goldberg is. He's the spawn of Lucianne Goldberg of infamy in Washington. And this sent to me by my friend Matthew Iglesias. So 2 years ago today, Jonah Goldberg threw down the following challenge to Professor Juan Cole. You know, Juan Cole's an infrequent visitor, but he comes to the show sometimes here when we need something on the subject from him. Well-spoken man, highly intellectual. Said, since he doesn't want to debate anything except his own brilliance, let's make a bet, Jonah Goldberg says. I predict that Iraq won't have a civil war. This is coming back from 2005. I guess I should preface this by that, the date's going on here. 2 years ago today, 2005, February 2005. He said, I predict that Iraq won't have a civil war. It will have a viable constitution, and the majority of Iraqis and Americans will, in 2 years' time, agree that the war was worth it. And I'll bet $1,000, which I can hardly spare right now, this way neither of us can hide behind clever wordplay or CV reading. If there's another reasonable wager Cole wants to offer, which would measure our judgment, I'm all ears. Money where your mouth is, Doc. Well, since Goldberg enjoys throwing a little smear job in with his punditry, says Matthew, said he also offered this, one caveat, because I don't think it's right to bet on such serious matters for personal gain. If I win, I'll donate my money to the USO, and he can give his to the Aqsa Martyrs Brigade or whatever his favorite charity is. Got it? So we have a prediction, along with the insinuation that Professor Cole is a terrorist, whereas Goldberg is a patriot. Obviously, Goldberg's prediction was incredibly wrong. The prediction, of course, came in the context of larger argument about credibility and Goldberg's wildly off-base prediction. Well, Goldberg has been wrong just about on just about everything so far pertaining to this war. So just thought we'd get that out of the way. Matt sent that over today, and I thought I'd let you know about it. I know a lot of you know about the Air America thing. I've been getting a lot of email, what do I think about this, and other bloggers and so forth asking for my opinion on this. What do I think? Air America, bankrupt, been sold for $4.25 million. They lost $40 million in a couple of years. $40 million. And I guess the creditors are just out of luck on that. The new buyers don't have to make that good. But $4.25 million. And here's what I'd like to know. Besides the name, what did they get for $4.25 million? Air America leases its studio, which, by the way, had to be in Manhattan. Someone want to tell me why? If they were worried about money, why in the hell did they lease property in downtown Manhattan for their studios when, you know, someplace in New Jersey might have been just as good? Who knows? They spent money on big names. What was her name? Janine Garofalo and, well, the other guy. What's his name? Al Franken. $40 million. And here's what I have to say about it. And you can tar and feather me, do anything you want to. I think it was a bad thing for liberal radio. For this company to get started with such a failed business plan and so much ballyhoo, so much free publicity, so it was heralded as the coming of, you know, the saviors of us on the left. And then to fail the way they did, how they did. Programming trouble, they had trouble with, you know, wrong people in the wrong slots. They had some of the wrong people. And, you know, who am I to talk about that? But I just think it was a failed plan and has made us on the left, it's made it tougher for anybody else to come along now. That's my opinion. Several of my blogger friends have asked me about it since I'm doing this and wanted to know what I think, and that's what I think. I think their failure has made it infinitely more troublesome for the rest of us to try and get something started in liberal progressive radio. So that's my opinion. Throw rocks if you like. I just thought they had a lousy plan to start out with, and they went bankrupt, so who knows? Who knows? Several people in the chat room talking about this. They snubbed people who they shouldn't have snubbed, and hired some people they shouldn't have hired, and spent tons of money on them when they weren't radio people at all. And you could tell. Some might say that I'm not a radio people. That's all right. Go ahead and say it. We're going to talk about Texas a little later. Yes, we are. I promised some people. I had somebody throw this in my face the other day, somebody from Texas. So I'm going to talk about how difficult it is, and how could I do this, how difficult it must be to be a woman in Texas. One of our right-wing friends, in fact, several of them, wrote us about, oh, Texas, 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 and Georgie Bush had all this wonderful experience by guiding the state of Texas. I'm saying he left it in a state of chaos financially, and they've gone downhill from there. And so we're going to talk about just exactly what the state of Texas is right now. And the state, I'm talking about the money and all that. Okay? Because I'm Guy James and you're not. I got to stop saying that. Watched a little bit of the oversight and government reform hearings today with Henry Waxman. And yesterday, last evening, I watched them. Watched some more of it today. Those Republicans on that committee are not too happy, are they? Oh, my, they're not happy. They're sticking it into to Henry whenever they get a chance, but old Henry Waxman just sits up there and laughs at him, really. And we had that little moron, what's his name, McHenry from South Carolina, is it? Talking about how this was, and when it was his chance to talk yesterday, well, this is just nothing but a gotcha thing. It just a gotcha. We need to do something to make things better. Not looking, you know, we're running a gotcha thing here and looking under every rock. And Henry Waxman looked at him and says, about time for you to go back under your rock, isn't it? And that little boy from South Carolina slapped his microphone away, had himself, as Granny would say, a little hissy fit right there and then and there. Oh, what a shame. Tough to be in a minority, isn't it, folks? Tough. That's right. And I had to sit back and laugh when Waxman told him that. And I listened to a little bit of the Senate today. They're still squawking. Still squawking about how bad they got screwed in the media the other day. I'm talking about the Republics. How bad they got screwed by the liberal media. Making them look bad. Making it look like they didn't want any debate on the floor of the United States Senate. They got a real case of what we farm boys would call the red ass. Because they just think the press is just treating them just really mean. And those nasty Democrats are treating them mean, too, because they're saying, oh, we didn't want to talk about it, and we're trying to hide our real, tough. Tough. It literally makes me laugh to see guys like Senator Roberts and Saxby Chambliss and a whole bunch of them over there. Talking about how the Democrats are trying to have everything their way now. Of all people to say how they're trying to have it their way now. Oh, my God. They literally ran over the Democrats. Didn't listen to a damn thing they had to say for how many years now? 12? Ran the whole show. Didn't want to hear a word from the Democrats about anything. Oh, no. Well, you can give us a call at 866-546-5254, and we're going to take a call right now. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hi, Guy. This is Juanita.
Hi, Juanita.
You mentioned the hearing Henry Waxman had.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I caught some of it yesterday, and I was so interested till I sat up almost all night listening to the rerun.
Well, that makes you and I a couple of losers, doesn't it, Juanita? Because I was up till about 12:30 watching them last night myself.
There was this one Republican on there from California, Illa or something like
mm-hmm.
that, and he kept putting his foot in his mouth. He kept, first of all, he wanted to know from those women who had written their opening statement. It sounded like a lot of legalese, you know.
Yeah.
And one woman came in and said she didn't appreciate that it sounded like he thought they didn't have enough sense to, I'm putting it in my words now, didn't have enough sense to write something like that they would have to get a lawyer. But they had all gotten together and written it.
Yes.
And it was well done. And I guess he was out and he came back in. Somebody in here said that I didn't think women had good sense or something like that. And he was taking it the wrong, and he kept on talking about that all through the hearing. And he would ask them people questions, and that finally that one lady that talked the most,
mm-hmm.
she said, what's the point?
Yeah.
What is the point? Because he said, well, do you people think that we shouldn't even have contractors? Well, what in the world was he talking about?
They're
he
just
was
trying
so
to,
yeah. Nasty.
They're just trying to deflect right now.
And did you hear who's on the side of who's one of the lawyers for that company?
No.
Ken Starr.
Oh, how well! I didn't know that. I must have.
I heard. That's why I wanted to hear the thing. If you get a chance to, I'm telling you. And then the woman, you know, they're suing them because they won't let them know anything about what went on.
Yeah, the Blackwater company.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, of course.
And now they've sued her for $15 million.
Yeah. Well,
they had the nerve, you know.
As a lot of people would say, they're shucking and jiving right now, just trying to do some weaseling. And Blackwater, it's a dirty bunch, and then the ES&S involved in it, too. You know, that's a dirty, filthy mess right there. And it's funny how the Republicans all sucked up to him and the Democrats were letting him have it. And the guy was really doing some dancing.
And did you see Chris Shea?
Yes, yes, it did.
And he kept on, and he would say to the woman, "What about so and so?" And she'd start to answer. He said, "Give me time. I'm not through yet."
Yeah.
You know.
Oh yeah, and again.
And then he was going to make her name names. You know. And did you notice that Waxman cut him off?
Sure. And the congressman from Utah, Cannon, I think it is. Yeah, he was. They're just so full of it right now. And even down on the Senate floor today, Jim Bunning up there saying, "Oh, they're ignoring anything we have to say. They're not paying any attention." Oh. Yeah, you know, I'm thinking, well, hey, boy, turnabout's fair play.
And they kept telling, saying, "This is not the place for this," you know.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I just wanted to know if you. I heard you say something about it, and I'm telling you, anybody, you could watch it in full on C-SPAN. With the people, I mean, those people were. It was just terrible.
Oh, you can watch it live right now on your. If you've got high speed, you can watch it live on your computer. But I'm not giving out the link because I don't want anybody to turn that in.
I don't know how to do that part yet.
Well, do you have high speed?
I've got high speed internet. Is that what you mean?
Yeah, you can watch it live right on your computer while you're surfing around.
Yeah, well,
I would give that link, but everybody turn the show off and go over there and watch it. So I'm not going to do
it. But I tell you, that's really worth the watch. I mean, I didn't watch all of the head men, you know, in there with their falling along. Did you see that woman from Carolina, that Republican, saying about what a wonderful company they were?
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
I've heard her several times. I don't like her at all.
No, she was nasty too.
Yeah, she was. But anyway, okay.
I think she's the one that brought up about it being a gotcha thing. She's the one
that
said
like
this is just a gotcha, and we need to be. She questioned each one of them. Well, has the Congress asked any of you what to do about this, or have they just criticized you? And I'm proud of Henry. I think he's doing a good job.
Oh, I love him. I've always liked him, and he's one man I trust up there.
I do too, very much so.
And he's very smooth, you know, about what he said. He really handled Shay.
I thought
very
he did
well. Shay said, "You took part of my time." And he said, "I want to file some kind of complaint." And he said, "Okay, point taken." And he said, okay, he went on to the next person.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Henry's not taking any guff off of him.
Shay just sat there like, ah.
I know. Hey, thanks for your call, Juanita. Good,
okay.
Good to hear from you.
Okay, bye-bye.
866-546-5254, 866-546-5254. Found a great thought for the day today, and it's to argue with a man who has renounced the use of authority of reason and whose philosophy consists in holding humanity in contempt is like administering medicine to the dead or endeavoring to convert an atheist by scripture. Thought that was a good one. Where are we at here? I'm trying to look under it. Yeah, did any of you see Don Imus have Mary Matlin on? Yes, I've really been around the dial the last couple of days. Very difficult for me to do show prep and listen and watch any of these, but somehow I managed to do it today. And, of course, you might be saying later on, did he really do any show prep? I don't know. But the conversation between Mary Matlin and Imus, I know. It was a conversation between a corpse and that can still talk and that horrible, nasty wife of Carville's. But she's calling Chris Matthews a liar concerning what he's been saying about her God, her former boss, Dick D'Artini. And from what I can see, everything Matthews has been saying about, and he likes to call him Cheney, is being borne out in Scooter Libby's trial. Have you been keeping good track of that trial? I'll tell you one thing. I have been very impressed. I wondered for a long, long time about Fitzgerald, but man, his preparation for a trial is really something. The detail that he has, no one is going to trip him up. It's obvious to me that he is he's either an absolute photographic memory genius or he has studied this till hell won't have it, because every detail is right there. He has laid the perfect trap. And I see that Cheney is not probably not going to have to stick his foot in that trap. Cheney, more than likely now, they say, will not testify because he will not have anything to say that that would help get old Scooty Boy off the hook. And if there's anybody in Washington, D.C. that does not want to get put under oath, it's probably Dick Cheney. I know if I were him, I would not want to be put under oath, but then what difference does that make it to an SOB like Dick Cheney, whether he's actually under oath or not? Oh, it makes all the difference in the world to his little friends out there in neocon land, but he lied under oath. He lied under oath. Well, the only difference is Cheney's smart enough to not to get put under oath, and Clinton didn't have a chance. Oh, God, I hear that in my sleep sometimes. He lied under oath. Oh, he lied. And speaking of Cheney, another example of just what a rotten little infested with cockroaches place inside Washington political scene really is. Investigations by the Homeland Security Department says the Department of Homeland Security refuses to cooperate on oversight activities, according to testimony offered by the GAO Comptroller General David Walker and Homeland Security Inspector General Richard Skinner. The investigators highlighted the role of one Philip Perry, Chief Counsel of the Department of Homeland Security and Vice President Cheney's son-in-law. Vice President, his son-in-law happens to be the Chief Counsel of the Department of Homeland Security. Now, what an odd coincidence that is. Isn't that something? Isn't that just something? Walker said the DHS strategy in dealing with the investigation is to delay, delay, delay. Say GAO Comptroller David Walker told the House Homeland Security Appropriations Subcommittee. Walker said the problem is systemic and not the fault of any single individual, but he complained that GAO had to go through the office of Chief Counsel Philip Perry. Perry is married to Elizabeth Cheney, a former State Department official. What? Dick Cheney's daughter was a State Department official? I guess we said that on a show a while back, but let me count this right. So you got the vice president, and we got his daughter as a State Department official, and her husband, Chief Counsel of the Department of Homeland Security. Well, my, oh my, what wild, why, that's just amazing. Anyway, Walker said his understanding that it's his understanding that Perry's office has to review documents GAO seeks before they're released, and that Perry selectively sits in on interviews with department employees. So here we've got, even in the Department of Homeland Security, the Cheney oversight. The Cheney tentacles are everywhere in Washington, aren't they? They're everywhere. Nothing goes on in Washington without Dick Cheney knowing about it. Nothing. My God. And I want to thank John Roberts. Thank you, John, for sending this to me. You know, yesterday I mentioned that little weasel from Alabama, Jeff Sessions. And John writes, hey, Guy, I was doing a little research on some of the senators you mentioned yesterday, some of the weasels I said that voted against, And he said, and look what I found on this disgraceful, disgusting Jeff Sessions. And let me just read you some of this. You wonder what in the hell is in the minds of voters when they go in the polls and pull the lever for people like Jeff Sessions. Is it just ignorance? Is it just that they don't take the time to find out what kind of a snake they're dealing with in many cases? Let me read this. Prior to being nominated to federal court, Sessions had unsuccessfully prosecuted three civil rights workers, including Albert Turner, a former aide to Martin Luther King Jr., on a case of election fraud for the 1984 election. Sessions spent hours interrogating black voters in predominantly black counties, finding only 14 allegedly tampered ballots out of more than 1.7 million cast. Now, there was a fruitful investigation, huh? The three civil rights workers were acquitted after only 4 hours of jury deliberation. And during his nomination to federal court, it was revealed that Sessions had once labeled the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People, better known as the NAACP, and the American Civil Liberties Union, labeled both of those organizations un-American and communist-inspired. Let me repeat that. Jeff Sessions called the NAACP and the ACLU un-American and communist-inspired, and had said that they forced civil rights down the throats of the people. Let me ask you, Mr. Sessions, if it hadn't been forced down the throats of the people where you live, would it ever have been passed? And you know the answer to that is hell no. Not with people like you. Damn. At his confirmation hearings, Sessions said that the groups could be un-American when they involved themselves in un-American positions in foreign policy. On September 9, 2005, after Hurricane Katrina hit the Gulf Coast, Sessions called his former law professor, Harold Apolinsky, co-author of Sessions' legislation repealing the federal estate tax, which had lost momentum in Congress, and left a voicemail. And it said, Arizona Senator John Kyle and I were talking about the estate tax. If we knew anybody that owned a business that lost life in the storm, that would be something we could push back with. Using Katrina, the horrors and the devastation and the carnage that took place in Katrina to try and get something passed that had failed before, it had nothing to do with Katrina, but he was willing to use it. A man whom part of this even brushed his own state. Not in a severe way, mind you. Brushed his own state, and here was a man willing to use it for political gain. Use Hurricane Katrina for political gain, this Jeff Sessions. Sessions was one of only nine opponents of Senator John McCain's anti-torture amendment. Sessions supports Vice President Dick Cheney's proposal to exempt the CIA from any ban on torture. Well, we just couldn't have a better guy in there for the United States Senator from Alabama now, could we? Than one Mr. Jeff Sessions. What the hell were people thinking? What goes through the minds? If they go to the polls not knowing what they're voting on, why do they go in the first place? And if they go knowing what he's like, God help us. God help us that men like Jeff Sessions get elected to the United States Senate. So, John, I do want to thank you for sending that. I had some opinions and some facts on Jeff Sessions, but never did they go that deep before. Man, oh man. Incredible, absolutely incredible what we get into. Hey, we're going to pause for a break right now. We'll be back in a couple minutes.
Love you, but those jeans have got
to
go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
2 days past 18, he was waiting for the bus in his army green, sat down in a booth in a cafe there, gave his order to a girl with a bow in her hair. He's a little shy, so she gave him a smile, and he said, would you mind sitting down for a while and talking to me? I'm feeling a little low. She said, I'm off in an hour, and I know where we can go. So they went down and they sat on the pier. He said, I bet you got a boyfriend, but I don't care. I got no one to send a letter to. Would you mind if I sent one back here to you?
Oh, they're asking on the chat room, did I ever, ever eat at Tony Paco's? Hey, does a bear... absolutely, I've eaten at Tony Paco's. I don't know how we got started on about talking about Lebanese folks on the chat room. But anyway, it's up there right now and kind of fun. Cup of Joe stole my line here. He put I spent a week there one night, but he said he spent a week there one day. Toledo, an unusual town, and the reason we brought up Toledo is Klinger on MASH was from Toledo, you know. And Toledo is quite an unusual town, and there are very many Lebanese people, and a whole lot of Lebanese people from Detroit. And every year, they would have a big festival down close to where I lived at a little Catholic minor basilica. And I don't know why I'm telling this story, but I am. They'd have this big festival, take over this whole little town, and mostly Lebanese folks from Detroit and Toledo. And Danny Thomas, you know, is from Toledo. I think that's how this whole conversation got started on the chat room. Anyway, they would come down and have this big festival, and they would go out in the park and roast lambs over the open spit in the fire, and it kind of made the locals take a double take. They didn't particularly like that. But the funny part is, the funny story I wanted to mention was that they... they came to this minor basilica, and they had monks and stuff there, and they had to take confession out in the courtyard, and it was quite a beautiful scene, actually, the monks and their habits and all that. And I remember seeing this guy pull up in front of the basilica, a beautiful, beautiful church, and a place where supposedly many miracles have taken place and so forth. And he would pull up in front of there, and his... van. He had an old beat-up conversion van, and it was he was obviously an ethnic guy of some kind. I'm sure he was Lebanese. And it was boiling over. And right inside the huge front door, the cavernous front doors of the church, up these steps, over on the right side, they had this beautiful, beautiful marble baptismal font. And it was a big one. And if you wanted to baptize a baby, you could just dunk him right in there, okay? I don't know. I'm not Catholic, so... But anyway, they had this beautiful baptismal font, and I don't think I ever saw anything so funny as this guy, and sacrilegious at the same time, this guy gets out of this van that's boiling over, takes off his radiator cap, walks up the steps of this minor basilica, and he's got a cup in his hand in a 5-gallon jug, and he goes inside the church and dips holy water out of that baptismal font into this bucket, this jug he's got, and takes it out and pours it in the radiator of his van. So there you go. Another story that means nothing, but I always found that extremely funny. That's been 20 years ago, I suppose, and I still laugh when I think about it. So there's my story about Lebanese folks in Ohio. For whatever it's worth. Not much, I guess. We've heard a lot lately about... we've heard so much coming from the people that hate Muslims, and we're hearing it so often nowadays. We're just hearing so much about all the hate. They're showing films on TV over in England where they're, you know, the Muslim groups are teaching kids, you know, bad things, and they're just making a huge issue out of it. And they're talking about it, maybe some of these teachings taking place here in the United States as well. And especially you hear this on Fox, and especially you hear this on Hannity and Limbaugh and what's that crazy guy's name? Mark Levin and the other crazy guy, Savage. And the other crazy guy, Neil Bortz, and one more crazy guy, Mike Gallagher. Oh, I don't want to leave David Horowitz out of it either. Double crazy. But we're hearing this all the time about this Muslim hate, that we're just pounding it down our throats. And I'm not disputing the fact that there is some of that going on. There may be a whole lot of that going on. But why not cover the whole story? We're seeing groups linked to the Ku Klux Klan, skinheads, neo-Nazis, growing significantly more active in this country right now, holding more rallies. They're distributing leaflets and increasing their presence on the internet. A whole lot of it focused on stirring anti-immigrant sentiment. This is from a new report by the Anti-Defamation League. They say extremist groups are good at seizing on whatever the hot button is of the day. My God, are they ever? Think back. Think of these groups with their torches and their hoods and their ropes in the middle of the night. It's sick to think that people like this are still around, but they are. They exist in our own society. There are pockets of them in this country. And I could tell you where, but I don't want to insult people. They'll think I'm beating on their states, and I'm not. I don't mean that. But the Anti-Defamation League saying extremist groups are good at seizing on whatever the hot button of the day is. And man, nothing could be further, closer to the truth. Old Klan chapters have been revived and new ones started throughout the South. Historically, the heart of the group, and in other places such as Michigan, Iowa, and New Jersey, says the report, which was scheduled for official release yesterday. Last May in Alabama. God, we're talking a lot about Alabama today. An anti-immigration rally included slogans such as, "Let's get rid of the Mexicans," according to the document titled "Ku Klux Klan Rebounds." The Klan is increasingly cooperating with other extremist groups and neo-Nazi groups. They said this is a new phenomenon, linking up with the other groups. I think that's particularly dangerous. And said between 2000 and 2005, hate groups mushroomed 33% and the Klan chapters by 63%. Now, who the hell would have thought that the Klan was growing by 63%? Something that ought to be on the downturn, something that ought to be nearly extinguished from society, it's on the upturn. And you know why. Because they found new people to hate. It wasn't good enough that they hated the black people. It wasn't good enough that they hated the Jews. It wasn't good enough that they hated the Catholics. Now, yes. Pick the one of the day. Pick the person of the day that the hardcore right is after. Pick the Mexicans. Pick the Muslims. Let's hate them. Never let it be said that they don't know how to seize on the hate du jour of the moment, if you will. They said as many as 150 Klan chapters with up to 8,000 members nationwide. More than 800 hate groups exist around this country. Not talking about the Middle East. We're talking about this country. They went on to say, whenever you think the Klan is down and out, they find another way to reinvent themselves, and they certainly have this time. Their membership reached a high of more than 4 million in the 1920s. And it was down, almost out. But now here they are back again. In this country. Don't tell me about all the hate in other places. I know hate exists. You know hate exists. We all know that. That's nothing unusual. But to find out that it's growing in our own country, when we proclaim to be the good guys and the people on the hard right talking about those nasty Muslims, you know, preaching hate in their schools, teaching their children how to hate. Hey, I've seen kids barely big enough to stand up wearing a Klan hood. And yet it's all one-sided when you hear Fox and Hannity and Limbaugh and that whole gang of right-wing blowhards. Disgust me. Let's go to the phone. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hi, Guy. It's Greg from Connecticut.
Hi, Greg.
I just had to make a comment about what you were just talking about, because I had sort of an interesting experience with that very recently. Well, I'll just say an interesting exchange. Let's put it like that. Probably better. On this board that I post on this TV show, which I don't even really watch anymore, this one woman came up, and there was kind of a discussion about this TV show 24. And the discussion was whether, you know, the portrayal of Muslims on the show is not good, that they're portraying them all the time as being terrorists and this and that. Well, I don't really watch the program, so, you know, I wasn't going to get in that. But this woman comes on who's, you know, this diehard Republican and starts into this whole thing, well, you know, a lot of these Muslims are terrorists and, you know, and we have to watch out and blah, 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 you know. So I responded to her. I said, you know, until about 2001, the face of terror in this country was Timothy McVeigh and those kids in Colorado that shot the school. I said, well, you know, Timothy McVeigh was a Republican. You're a Republican, so I think you should prove to me that you're not going to go blow up some federal building.
Hey, that's as good a reasoning as they use.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and it, and you know, the one group you left out of your list, you know, it's blacks, it's Muslims, it's Mexicans, and gay people. It's
like, oh, you know, yes, like, yes,
it's
thank you.
Funny thing too, you know, just a few days ago there was some discussion about this ad on the Super Bowl. I don't know if you saw it, about these two men who accidentally kissed trying to eat this the Mars bar or Snickers bar or something, and then start, you know, hitting each other and this and that, and, you know, just it was a whole really disgusting thing. And it's like, that's supposed to be funny, you know. And it's just, it's really scary in this country what's happening to more and more people. I know someone who's from Morocco who works at the mailroom at my condo, and he says he's very much afraid on a daily basis. I mean, you know, he's lived here, you know, years and years, pays his taxes, is a very honest person, but is afraid, you know, to go to work and is afraid to be out and about sometimes.
Damn right, and I can understand why. I can certainly understand why. We don't need to, you know, we don't need to try and be the exceptionalist here and say that our society is better than others around the world on that count, because we certainly are not.
Exactly, you know, and it's, you know, people will say things like, oh, you know, those French are so anti-Semitic and things like that. You know, we have to look at ourselves too, you know, and it's just, and, you know, and if you have a chance to see that movie, Babel, which is the Oscar-nominated thing for the Picture of the Year, it's very interesting. I won't give away a lot what happens, but basically these two boys, they accidentally shoot an American woman who's riding in a bus. They're just playing around with a gun and accidentally shoot her, you know. Not meaning anything, and it becomes this big terrorist incident and this and that, and, you know, everyone's saying, oh, those Moroccan people do this and that, you know. And it was very illustrative of the hysteria about the situation in this country, and I hope people can learn something from it.
Well, learning, that seems to be something that our society has a good deal of trouble with when it comes to societal matters. It's obvious to me with this upturn of the Klan, that maybe some folks haven't learned a whole lot.
Well, because what the Republicans do best is they base everything on fear. Okay, your average Republican has this idea: they're going to take it away from me. The gays, the Muslims, the Mexicans, Hollywood—you know, uppity women—they're all going to take away what I've tried to get. You know, and they all have this irrational fear that I, as the white man, am going to have everything taken away from me.
Oh yeah, and that's their, you know, I talked about that yesterday. That's their number one weapon, and then not only do they convince people of that, they convince these people that they ought to love them for that.
Yeah,
the aristocracy in the Republican and on the right love us because we're saying these things and we're helping you people
out. Yeah, we're fighting in your name.
We're going to get you some justice, boy.
You know, and, well, you know, and, well, part of that too is these straw men they keep putting up. Like today, I just happened to look over at TomDelay.com, you know, and they were talking about something or other on Democratic Underground, and they were talking about this thing, you know, about how the Iraqis are, you know, are can they be considered fighting, you know, for their country and things like that. And they said, you know, the typical left, they're only interested in supporting Al-Qaeda and this and that. You know, so everything is black and white. See, to them, you know, we are very much in support of Al-Qaeda and terrorists and that sort of thing, not saying, you know, that our Middle East policy is making everyone less safe.
Well, I couldn't agree more. I really could not.
So anyway, that was the rant for the day.
And a good one it was.
Hey, thanks a lot.
Good
man.
To hear from you, my
Bye.
Friend. 10 minutes in front of the hour right now. 10 minutes in front of the hour. Just saw some interesting news on the chat room. I'll wait till it's confirmed before I announce it. I think I'll wait till the second hour to get into this. We're going to talk a little bit about Texas in the second hour, simply as an in-your-face thing for some Texas people I know who have been giving it to me about and what great shakes Texas is in because of the wonderful, beloved government that they had, and one George W. Bush and Mr. Perry, who's in there now. So we're going to talk about Texas a little bit. Not necessarily the people of the state of Texas, but the government of the state of Texas. And let's just see how well they're doing in Texas right now, governmental-wise, huh? Let's see how progressive they are. Let's see how well they're doing on a lot of things. We'll talk about that in the second hour. And if you're from Texas, listen carefully what I have to say, because I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about your government. And probably the people that are listening to this program, I'm not talking to you at all because you didn't vote for your government either. Oh, what a shame it is nowadays. I'm hearing that Anna Nicole Smith has died. I'm hearing that CNN has confirmed it. Well, isn't that interesting? Tragic. God knows there's been enough comment about that family over the past few months, past few years. My goodness. Well, but I will maintain that that's not any different, really, than hearing that our friend John or Mary or Alice or Sue or whatever has passed away. Just because someone's a celebrity, it doesn't make it any more tragic, I guess. Cold-hearted? No, just the truth. But speaking of governments and people that vote for governments, and before I mention that thought, I'm good at jumping from one thought to another one today. We had that idiot, Senator James Inhofe, idiot R. Oklahoma. He's now saying that the IPCC's report about the global warming is a political document, not a scientific report. No, sir, Mr. Inhofe. No, that's not scientific document. It was compiled by 150 renowned scientists as its main authors and had another 400 scientists as contributing authors, a team of review editors, and some 600 reviewers. But never mind. It's not a scientific document. You know, here's a guy right here, James Inhofe from Oklahoma, who proudly stood on the Senate floor not so long ago and said, "I'm so proud to say that in the history of my family, we had never had one divorce or one gay person." If you could reach through the TV and grab a guy like that and say, "What the?" But, you know, it makes you wonder about the knuckle draggers that elect a guy like that. I don't know. Was his opponent that bad? How does a guy like that? I mean, what kind of good old boy would put somebody like this James Inhofe in office? And Jeff Sessions. If you know what you're doing when you go into the booth and you've checked these people out, what the hell is wrong with you when you vote for somebody like this? Are you that warped? Do they have science in school out in Oklahoma? Did this Inhofe get an education there? I don't know. Maybe he went to school in Florida. That would... Ooh, the high schools in Florida. Oh, my, the high schools in Florida. Not all of them. And I don't want to be, I don't want to sit here and throw rocks at other states and all that, because I do live in Florida, which is the object of much ridicule. Seems like... whenever we got the Terry Schiavo thing, we've had mass murders, we've had child molesters, we've had it all here. Catherine Harris, throw her into the mix. Who was it? A writer for the Miami Herald a while back said it's like you can pick up a map of the United States and tilt it to the side, tilt it to the right, and all the sludge just naturally drains down to the state of Florida. So when I talk about other states, believe me, I know. I'm not a native of Florida, but I live here, and I'm glad I do. for the weather. That's about it. But, yeah, I just wanted to briefly talk about, you know, who we elect in office. I think so few people take the time to check out people. I talked to a neighbor the other day, and I mentioned Hillary Clinton. And regardless of what you think of Hillary Clinton, she says, oh, I hate Hillary Clinton. I said, well, why do you hate her? Well, I just don't like her. Why? Well, I don't like her views. Well, what are her views? Well, I don't want to get into it right now. No, I'm willing to listen. Go ahead, tell me. What are the views of Hillary Clinton that you don't like? Come on, tell me. What are they? Well, I've just heard, you know, she wants this communist stuff. I said, what communist stuff? I said, well, you know, health care for everybody paid for by the state. That's communist. Oh. You know, you hear things like that, and you just throw up your hands and go, okay. Doesn't know the difference between socialist and communist, I guess. But that's the way a lot of people were raised, and they don't know any better. But, you know, you want to run for president right now, you know, nowadays. First of all, you better be a pretty good-looking person. You can't be just average. You have to have a nice smile, and you have to be well-coiffed and well-groomed. And, of course, you need to dress very, very well. And, you know, you have to be able to make a good speech. You have to be able to deliver a good speech and have a good speech at least written for you. Got to be able to go around to all these suppers and all that and glad hand everybody. And basically get yourself elected just because people like you. Not because of your deep down beliefs. Not because of your outlook for what you want to do for America. But first and foremost, in the United States right now, if you want to get elected president, you better be fairly good-looking, not short, and, you know, be a fine speaker and all that. And I can think of some absolute savages over the years that were great speakers and good-looking people and ended up in prison because they were such bad people. But that's the criteria that you see nowadays, that you hear nowadays from people. And it totally befuddles me that how you can go to the polls, not armed with all the information that you really need to go out and pick yourself a president, but no, you want to do it on how somebody looks, how they dress, and how they speak. And I'm not saying that some of those things shouldn't be considered. I think they need to be considered, most especially on how well you speak and how well thought out your positions are. But it's just become like a high school popularity contest with a lot of people. And it's become a matter of wanting to be with a winner instead of who's best. And my God, hasn't politics turned to that? We want to be with a winner instead of what we know would be best for America. Could Abraham Lincoln get elected president today? Could Dwight Eisenhower get elected as president of the United States today? Could Harry Truman get elected as president of the United States today? Maybe Woodrow Wilson could. Calvin Coolidge? Hell no. Herbert Hoover? No. William Howard Taft? Absolutely not. I mean, they're talking about Barack Obama has a bad habit of smoking, for God's sake. Ooh. That certainly disqualifies him. Well, I'll tell you, it's a strange thing we do here in this country. It most certainly is. Got the news coming up here in just a moment or two, so we hope you'll stick with us for that. Sounds like they're making some noises there on the news channel right now. Anyway, you're listening to The Guy James Show here on the Head On Radio Network. And we'll be back in just a minute or two. Don't go away. News coming up. 5 minutes worth. You be here when I get back.
This is the Quality News Network. U.S. officials are investigating a private security helicopter crash in Iraq last week. No one was killed when the chopper made a hard landing under fire south of Baghdad. It would be the sixth helicopter to be shot down in Iraq in 3 weeks. Iraqi forces today detained a senior government official who is believed responsible for corruption and the recent sectarian violence in Baghdad. The raid was part of a security crackdown in the Iraqi capital. Across Iraq today, at least 27 people were killed in violence that included several car bombs. 61 were wounded in the attacks. The U.S. military reports that four Marines were killed yesterday in fighting in the Sunni-dominated Anbar province. The U.S. death toll in the Iraq war is at least 3,114. In Mecca, Saudi Arabia today, the rival Palestinian factions have agreed to form a national unity government. They have settled who gets to head the government ministries. The top Hamas and Fatah leaders have been in talks for several days. In China today, the six-party talks about North Korea's nuclear program have begun. There is optimism that an agreement will be reached, according to officials. Iran's supreme leader warned the United States today that if it attacked Iran, his country would retaliate by hitting U.S. interests around the world. Tehran's ambassador to the U.N. also issued a warning today in a New York Times op-ed piece. He predicted U.S. efforts to isolate Iran would backfire. As a result, sectarian strife in the Middle East would increase. The Secretary of the Department of Homeland Security told a House subcommittee today that there has been increased violence along the U.S.-Mexico border. He blames it on criminal organizations that are responsible for drug smuggling and illegal immigration and are trying to defend their operations. At the Lewis Scooter Libby trial today, NBC host of Meet the Press Tim Russert was the last prosecution witness, and the prosecution rested its case. At Camp Pendleton, a Marine who pleaded guilty to kidnapping and murdering an Iraqi man now wants to withdraw his pleas. He said today that he no longer believes he is guilty of the crimes. Residents of upstate New York are digging out of more than 70 inches of lake-effect snow in some areas. There's more snow forecast today, bringing the totals to 100 inches. Schools have been closed for the fourth day in a row, and parts of Interstate 81 were temporarily shut down. You're listening to the Quality News Network, Science and Business next.
Monterey is the home of a new national radio voice. It's America Back on Track from the Quality News Network. Tune in weekdays at noon Pacific to this new national broadcast, a conversation with America designed to get our country back on track. America Back on Track features local and long-distance guests sharing global ideas on where we are, how we got here, where we want to go, and how we might get there. So take an hour out of your day to plug into the future, our future. Discover the solutions to the problems that have gridlocked our nation for all too long. Eschew the agenda-driven palaver of the left and the right. Tune into America Back on Track for honest talk about the important issues and how they can be resolved. America Back on Track, weekdays at noon on KRML, 1410 a.m. in the Monterey area, and streaming live online at QNNAmerica.com. America Back on Track, our ticket to a healthy and productive future.
The FDA approved a non-prescription version of the diet drug Xenical. The reduced-strength diet pill will have the same unpleasant side effects of the prescription pill, which works by blocking fat absorption in the intestinal system. Retailers around the nation report sales rebounded in January after a somewhat disappointing holiday season. Many shoppers redeemed gift cards to help stores have better-than-expected sales. Eastman Kodak announced 3,000 job cuts today as part of its transition from film into digital photography. The number two electronics chain in the U.S., Circuit City, will close 69 stores in the U.S. and Canada and a distribution center as part of its restructuring plan. The head of News Corp, Rupert Murdoch, said his company plans to launch a business channel in the fall. He said it would be more business-friendly than rival channel CNBC. Public Television is launching its own Spanish-language network with programming that includes childcare, yoga, and a Charlie Rose-style interview show. It will launch next month in 18 U.S. markets that have large Latino populations. And the Walt Disney Company may build some standalone hotels in urban areas. Light Sweet Crude trading at $59.71 a barrel. And near the close of Wall Street today, the Dow was down 30 points at 12,636, the NASDAQ down 2, and the S&P 500 down 2. There's more at our website, QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Allie Dramoff.
what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country. I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show. The Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
Well, it's a good thing you're all still there. I've been checking, you know, and not a single person walked out to the refrigerator and didn't come back. Welcome to the Guy James Show. So glad to have you along with us here on the show on Head On Radio Network. Happy to have all of you along with us on the chat room. Got a couple of chat rooms going right there. Do you ever feel like you have to sneeze and you don't quite get there and it lingers and lingers and lingers? What do you do to actually get to sneeze finally? Can you make yourself sneeze? You know what works for me? Look into a really bright light. That'll make me sneeze. That'll make me sneeze even sometimes when I don't have to sneeze. Anybody, we got a physician out there or a physiologist that can explain that to me? I don't know. But I guess I'll just have to continue to need to sneeze here for a while. Gift cards. They were talking about gift cards during the news. Have any of you got caught up in that? I get gift cards. I've given some gift cards. Not a lot, but some. Somewhere I saw a figure of how many million dollars worth of them were never redeemed. And you know what happens is you get one like for $100, you go out and you spend $90 and you throw the card in the console of your car and you keep thinking, well, I got to use that. And then you forget how much is on it yet. And you think, oh, that's only a couple of bucks. And anyway, that's how lackadaisical I am. And I know there are people that have gift cards and lost them. I've heard that. So stores make out pretty good on gift cards. They love to sell gift cards. Anna Nicole Smith probably be the number one story on the news tonight, don't you think? I'll bet it will be. We had another helicopter crash. People die. They're figuring out how to shoot down our copters over there. We've had, I don't know how many people die in Iraq today, how many innocent Iraqis died, but you can bet your hind end that the number one story on the news tonight will be a story about how Anna Nicole Smith died, possibly of drug overdoses. Our society. I don't know. Really don't know. Anyway, I promised you I was going to talk. First of all, before I start on talking about Texas, and I promise you I'm going to talk about Texas in a minute. Not for that long, but I'm going to talk about it just a little bit. Got a nice email from Timber in Durham, North Carolina, and I couldn't agree more. It says, Guy, why are you surprised by the rise in hatred against Muslims in this country? Well, really, Timber, I'm not surprised. When even Democrats and liberals are following the right-wing playbook about the war on terror and the clash of civilizations, when both major parties endorse arbitrary imprisonment and torture of Muslims, when we're being told to support the troops in their ongoing crusade against Muslims around the world, the opportunism of lowlifes like the Klan and neo-Nazis under these circumstances should be a given. The key to breaking this vicious cycle is to challenge the assumptions behind their own government and military's current campaigns against Muslims and to bring an end to officially sanctioned anti-Muslim violence. A crime against a Muslim is no less a crime just because the criminal is wearing a uniform and cashes a government paycheck. Well, I certainly agree with those sentiments. I do. And we are seeing lots and lots of hatred right now come forth. They're coming out of the weeds, folks. They were beaten back for a long time because, I don't know, they ran out of reasons. Or, you know, now they've got some new reasons the way they see it. I want to talk a little bit about Texas. I had a couple of my right-wing friends bragging to me about, I was talking about the qualifications of one Junior Bush. He said, well, he's the governor of Texas, you know. I said, I didn't think he did such a bang-up job of Texas, and I thought he left Texas in not so good a shape, really. And so I had somebody send me a bunch of facts and figures about Texas, and I looked them up. And what do you know? They're pretty much right on the money. Couldn't find any of these that weren't true. So I'll pass these on to you. And the reason I mention this is I think Texas, the great state of Texas, got a lot of fine people in it and all that, but I don't think the Bush family and the Tom DeLay and the hardcore Republican administration they have there, and the way the neocons have gotten a hold of that state in an iron fist control of the government there, I don't think they've done a very good job for the good people of Texas. And I want to tell you why I don't think they've done a very good job for the great state of Texas. In the number of uninsured children in the 50 states, and all these rankings will be where they rank in the 50 states. Number one in the percentage of uninsured children. Income inequality between the rich and poor. Number two, where is Texas right now? They're the second most populous state behind California. Second or third, I'm not sure. I should have looked that up, but I didn't. It's a big one, anyway. Percentage of population without health insurance. Number one. Scholastic assessment tests, the SAT scores, 47th. I believe Florida here is 48th, maybe 49th. Percentage of population over 25 with a high school diploma, 50th. And again, I think Florida is pretty close behind. The rate of women aged 40 plus who receive mammograms, and you know how important that is, 44th. The rate of women aged 18 plus who receive pap smears, 47th. And one of the reasons I'm reading this to you, because from three different sources, people who live in Texas who are hardcore right-wingers told me that Texas, and I can't verify this, that Texas has anywhere from $12 to $15 billion in cash on hand. If so, why would these figures be true? Rate of women aged 18 who receive pap smears, 47th. Cervical cancer, 5th. Women voter registration, 43rd. Women's voter turnout, 49. Percentage of eligible voters that voted, 44th. And you add to this list that Texas has the highest rate for home insurance. Now, this they've been passed by Florida. So I wonder if they've done such a great job in Texas, this Republican administration, and if in fact they do have $12 to $15 billion in the bank. How can that be? Why would that be? Is my question. How in the world could you allow that if you had all that cash on hand and if your state government was all that great? I don't know. I don't know how that can be. I got some more figures here. Okay, yeah. Let's go on about Texas a little bit and all this surplus budget that Governor Perry supposedly has, and how that Republican administration there is just doing so damn good for the people of Texas. Tax revenue raised per capita, 49th. Tax expenditures per capita, 50th. Sales tax per capita, 7th. Per capita spending on mental health, 46th. Per capita spending on Medicaid, 38th. Parks and Recreation, 49th. Police protection, 48th. Environmental protection, 45th. Spending on the arts, 48th. The birth rate, they're second. Percentage of uninsured children, first, we mentioned that. Percentage of children immunized, 49th. Where are some of these other ones we had here? I mean, some of these numbers are just astonishing for a state that supposedly has got all this cash on hand. Why the hell would you allow some of these things to, you know, to take place? Family planning, their 45th money spent on family planning. Women's median annual earnings, 28th. Well, that's kind of in the middle. Percentage of women above the poverty level, they're 44th. What else we got here? Percentage of home refinance loans that are subprime mortgage loan, generally 3 to 4% percentage points or more higher than comparable prime market loan. First, gouging the poor on home loans, number one. Percentage of households with savings account, 42nd. Percent of households with checking accounts, 43rd. Average net worth of household assets, 48th. Air pollution. First. Texas. First. Air pollution. Pollution released by manufacturing plants. First. Amount of greenhouse gases released. First. Amount of toxic chemicals released into the water. First. Amount of toxic chemicals released into the air. Fourth. Amount of recognized cancer-causing carcinogen released into the air, first. The number of environmental and civil rights complaints, first. The amount of hazardous waste generated, first. The amount of carbon dioxide emissions, I can't talk today, first. Open space protection, 50th. Average hour earnings, 42nd. Workforce education, 43rd. Number of executions, first. Number of gun shows, first. Rate of incarceration, third. Number of registered machine guns, for God's sake, first. Number of deaths attributed to floods, first. Fatality caused by tornadoes, first. Well, the government can't be blamed for those. But this list goes on and on and on. 61,000 Texas children were victims of child abuse. The only reason I'm bringing this up is I know every state that's got its warts. Texas, it seems, has more than normal. A lot more than normal. And many of these things I've just mentioned have nothing whatsoever to do other than the fact that their government sucks. The iron-fisted control of the Republican in Texas has taken that state right down the tubes. And again, I've not been able to confirm whether or not they have $12 to $15 million cash on hand. But if they do, shame on them. But wouldn't that be just the way the neocons do things? Social programs need attention, need money. We got cash. Screw those people that need those social programs. Isn't that just the way it is? Texas Betsy says, no, guy, there is no child abuse here. You're allowed to beat your kid with a belt, and it isn't abuse. Okay. Well, I guess I've mentioned enough times why I mentioned this. And it's to point out the fact that George W. Bush left his mark on that state long before he left it on the United States. The record of the state of Texas, and many of these things were started under the guidance of George W. Bush. And remember how much he was touted, you know, this experience he's got as governor of Texas is just really great. That's what qualifies him if he can guide a state the size of Texas, he can certainly be the president of the United States. Well, much of the social problems and the social ills I just mentioned were started under the George Bush gubernatorial administration. Lack of funding, and it's gotten progressively worse and worse and worse. What a shame for the great state of Texas. They deserve better. They deserve better than their Governor Perry. They deserve better than your Tom DeLays. they deserve better than your Kaylee Bailey, Katie whatever Hutchison. What the hell is her? Kate Bailey Hutchison? They deserve much better. But they're not getting it. And the bad part is, I guess more than half of them are not realizing it. Because they put this Perry in office after they had a disaster with Bush. But, once again, I want to reiterate, if they really do, in fact, have $12 to $15 billion in cash in Texas, and choose not to spend it on these social programs that are woefully underfunded, whose fault is that? I think we all know whose fault it is. Hey, we're going to be back in just a moment. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
This is Granny B, and I was just thinking about Republicans and their inability to turn down George Bush, no matter what he orders them to do. Republicans in the Senate are trying to stop discussion of a non-binding resolution condemning President Bush's plan to escalate troop levels in Iraq. Now, a big majority of Americans don't think Bush is doing a good job on the war, don't want to increase the troops fighting it, and want us out of there. Senate Republicans know about these polls, and a good number of them are up for re-election next year. So why don't they want to go on the record agreeing with most Americans and giving Bush the equivalent of a hiding? It's not that Bush could have another term. In 2 years, he's out of there. It's not that they like the guy. They have to be pretty sore at the way they've been treated by the administration. They've been slapped around almost as much as the Democrats. It's not that Bush is still popular with the public. He is not. There is only one reason I can think of that would give Bush the power to snap his fingers and have the senators dance into his tune again. And that is that Bush can still open and close huge spigots of money. Those who have benefited the most from Bush's tax cuts and the wannabes, who would love to be among them, still raise big bucks for Republicans who toe the Bush line. And I just have this sneaking suspicion that if Bush tells them not to fund this or that senator, they'll follow along like rats following the Pied Piper. Our whole system is so corrupt that one man can go against the majority of Americans over and over and over again. When are we going to get so sick and tired of it that we change the rules? This is Granny B, and I was just wondering.
I promise to tell the truth always about my intentions and my beliefs.
Straight talk.
Straight talk. A little straight talk. The success will be fairly easy.
I believe that we can win an overwhelming victory in a very short period of time.
Easy, easy. It was easy. The American people were led to believe that this would be some kind of a day at the beach, which many of us fully understood from the beginning would be a very, very difficult undertaking.
I knew it was probably going to be long and hard and tough, and those that voted for it and thought that somehow it was going to be in some kind of an easy task, then I'm sorry they were mistaken. Maybe they didn't know what they were voting for.
Straight talk. Down to South Carolina and said that the flag that was flying over the state capitol, which was a Confederate flag, was that I shouldn't be involved in it. It was a state issue. It was an act of cowardice. Straight talk.
Neither party should be defined by pandering to the outer reaches of American politics and the agents of intolerance, whether they be Louis Farrakhan or Al Sharpton on the left, or Pat Robertson or Jerry Falwell on the right.
Do you believe that Jerry Falwell is still an agent of intolerance?
No, I don't.
McCain recently spent some political quality time with Falwell, delivering the commencement address at the Reverend's Fundamentalist Liberty University.
Thank you, Dr. Falwell. And thank you, Liberty University class of 2006.
Straight talk.
And should gay marriage be allowed?
I think that gay marriage should be allowed if there's a ceremony kind of thing, if you want to call it that. I don't have any problem with that. I believe if people want to have private ceremonies, it's fine. I do not believe that gay marriages should be legal.
Are you against civil unions for gay couples?
No, I am not. But
the whole country's talking.
Hey, we've got telephone lines open right now, 866-546-5254. That's 866-546-5254. We hope you'll give us a call, especially if you're one of those right-wing lurkers that's always sending the hateful email. Why don't you call, huh? We've been trying to goad you into doing so. Just pick up that phone. Take a chance. Spin the dial. Round and round she goes, and where she stops, we'll treat you nice for as long as you're making sense, anyway. Hey, welcome to the Guy James Show here on the Head On Radio Network. Happy to have all of you along with us, 866-546-5254. Have you been keeping track of the scooter trial? How's that, have you? With all this talk about scooter and Dark Cheney and the surge and the candy-ass Democratic-controlled Senate and all that and such, one huge item seems to have been forgotten, and I haven't heard his name for a while, and perhaps you haven't either, and I tend to wonder about it when I don't hear for so long. Where the hell is Osama bin Laden? Remember the get 'em dead or alive, smoke 'em out of the caves, big shot talk from that little man who occupies the White House 6 years ago? 6 years. 6 years. 3,000 dead. Over 3,000 dead in a war that was supposedly started because of bin Laden in the first place. And a war in Afghanistan that we won, but now we're losing again. All the military, the war, the fighting them over there so we don't have to fight them over here crap. We've got Negroponte telling us straight up a month ago that Al-Qaeda is headquartered in a secure compound in Pakistan, and we still can't get bin Laden, and Mr. Tough Guy President has failed in the biggest mission of all in his role as war president, as he likes to say. And I'll get to the phones in just a second. Think about it. Does anyone even talk about bin Laden anymore? I think it's just astonishing that bin Laden seems to be nowhere on the radar. Think about it. If somebody on September 12, 2001, if someone told you that in 2007 we'd still be on the hunt, in addition to being bogged down in an unrelated war with more dead than on 9/11, well, never mind. You get the message. It appears that Osama bin Laden's getting a pass right now. Mr. Big Shot Tough Guy Junior Bush opened his mouth and bragged how we're going to get that bin Laden. Like everything else in his administration, he has failed. He's had failed at that, and he's failed to back up what he said about mission accomplished. He's failed to win the war in Afghanistan. And he's left this nation, more importantly, far more importantly, he's left this nation as vulnerable as it was on 9/11 and probably a lot more so. And we have all these things come up, and I think you share the feelings I have over these past 6 years that this numbskull's been the president of the United States. They've been how many things happened that we've said, okay, that's it. That's going to take him down, or that's going to turn the public against him. There's this, there's that, there's everything. You know, let's look at some of the crap that's happened during Prince Boy's administration so far. First, we had Jebby rig the Florida election for Bush with the felons list. We have the Beltway Republicans come down here and riot and shut down the Miami recount. We have massive tax cuts for the rich. We have the vacationing Junior Bush receives a memo entitled Bin Laden Determined to Strike in the U.S. And he tells the guy that told him that, well, you've covered your ass from, and now get out. Bin Laden hits us on 9/11. Falwell, Robertson, and their gang blame the gays and the ACLU for 9/11. We find out the intelligence and the facts are fixed around the policy. We have him say, well, the British government has learned that Saddam Hussein recently sought significant quantities of uranium in Africa. Yeah, I sought the Hope Diamond too, but I didn't get it. We find out that the White House Iraq group plants over 50 pro-Iraq war stories in our famously free press. We got Judy Kneepads Miller. All this stuff come to light. The Republicans use the Iraq authorization for military forces as a tool to win the midterm elections. Baghdad gets looted. Troops get sent into Iraq with not enough body armored and armored vehicles. We've got $8.6 billion missing in Iraq that they just took it over there and just, here, have some. We got God knows how many hundred thousand civilian casualties in Iraq. We've got Abu Ghraib. Cheney tells Pat Leahy to go F yourself on the Senate floor. We know that Bush has committed over 30 felonies in his warrantless surveillance program. And still we wonder, God, how does this guy stay in the White House? These things keep happening, and we keep going, well, this is it. Well, this is it. How many times have you, and I'm guilty, I'm as guilty as anybody, I'm not anymore, I'm not falling for it anymore, but how many times have you and I and the whole gang of us said, well, this is it. This has got to be it this time. Remember Fitzmas? We thought Fitzgerald was going to take down Karl Rove, and it was all but assured that that was going to happen. It was reported it was going to happen on truthout.org. Time magazine suppresses the Bush warrantless surveillance scoop until Bush is elected. That was a beauty. Bush surveils everybody. We're finding Bush's surveillance program so huge that NSA is running out of electrical power. He has a male whore in the White House press corps, Jeff Gannon. He bans Democrats from all his campaign rallies when he ran the last time. They manipulated the 2004 election with terror alerts. Oh, my God, look out, the sky's falling. We have Katrina happen, and the president has never responded to a national emergency any worse than that. They got the Geneva Convention. They legalized torture. They got habeas corpus. The republics hold at least 10,000 in European gulags. They allowed this president to use these signing statements to literally rewrite the laws to suit him. You know, we got Bush says he's going to keep us in Iraq even if Barney and Laura agree with him, if they're the only two left. Cheney continues to avoid impeachment, and Bush continues to avoid impeachment. God, when's it going to end? But I'm not going to fall for it anymore. I'm thinking the guy's going to, you know, I predicted that the two of them as a pair wouldn't survive this year, that one of them would be gone. I still think Cheney will be. But I'm trying not to fall for any of this anymore. Believe me, if the headline news tonight, instead of the Anna Nicole Smith story, if it was Bush caught with a male prostitute at the Willard Hotel in Washington, I would say he'd probably survive it. I don't know. Let's go to the phones. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Is this the real Guy James?
The one and only.
Fort Myers, Florida.
I'm Guy James, and you're not.
How you doing, Guy? This is Eric from Vermont.
Pretty good, Eric.
Listen, I just got out of work, so I'm really not very informed about the day's events. I'm not sure I have a lot of events from yesterday all in tune. Maybe you could help me out. I was reviewing on one of the blogs yesterday, and it sort of indicated that the grand jury testimony back in 2004, pardon me, that Libby actually in that testimony had fingered Bush. Is that something that I lost in my last 36 hours not paying attention to things? Or
I think so, from what I know. I have not seen any place where Bush, the only thing where I've seen where Bush was possibly implicated, where Cheney made the notes on the paper, then, and he had Prez, P-R-E-S, written down and scratched it out. But that's the only thing I've seen that where Bush has been involved. It has been it has been bandied about that, you know, the whole White House knew it. But as far as Bush himself, I don't know. I don't think they've got anything there.
Do you think that the trial of Libya is going to bring out some things that might go in? I mean, we're thinking about this unsealed indictment that they have, trying to figure out what that's about and so on and so forth. Is this a lot of smoke and mirrors kind of thing with Fitzgerald, or do you actually think it might go further than Libya in terms of actual prosecution and indictments?
Well, from what I know, that sealed indictment, from what I know, that never happened. That was a figment of Jason Leopold's imagination.
True thoughts then?
Yeah, in my opinion, that was totally wrong.
And, I'm sorry.
And I hope I have to eat those words. But
I hope we all have to eat those words.
Yeah, but I don't see any indication whatsoever that Leopold had any credibility in that matter whatsoever. I really don't, and I hate to say that. I really do. I would love for him to be right on it, but.
But aside from jumping on that story maybe a little too soon, maybe there was something there, maybe there wasn't. We both thought that there was.
Well, let's face it, Eric, you thought there was, I thought there was, everybody thought there was, and we were probably a bit overzealous in hoping that there was. And again, let's face it, there was a pretty good chance that there was something going to happen there. So we have a guy decides to sit down and write a story with the odds on his side that it's going to be true, and it turns out that it wasn't.
But do you think that, aside from that little event or series of events, do you think that in this prosecution of Libby, do you think that there are things that will be revealed that Fitz might go further on?
No, I don't.
That's it.
That's just my opinion.
Just the book. Yeah.
It looks like Cheney's probably not going to testify, and if he doesn't testify, there's probably no chance that it's going to go any further. I was hoping he'd get Cheney on the stand and trip him up and then be able to come back and get him as an unindicted co-conspirator in this thing somehow, but that's the limits of my legal knowledge.
That's the limits of my... I can do a good land search. I did do a little studying. But, so it leaves it up to Congress to actually to get the cajones and the backbone to do their job.
I think so.
And feel like this is a little more important than a little stand on a blue dress kind of thing.
And
$70 million worth of trying to get somebody for a Whitewater case,
man,
many years ago.
You know what? That might end up helping Hillary Clinton. I was thinking about that the other day. You know, she and Bill Clinton, and we've said this before, they were investigated probably more than anybody on the face of the earth in the history of the planet. And that's all they could come up with was his lie about sex. So I think Hillary, when she runs for president, you know, what other doors are there for them to open? There's nothing left for them to open on her. Everybody, her life's an open book, and so there's not going to be any startling revelations come out about Hillary Clinton, I don't think.
Yeah.
So that could turn out to be, you know, believable.
Well, I'm actually not a big Hillary fan.
Well, I'm not either, but I'm just saying that if she gets the.
But I agree with you in terms of they can't find any more dirt than they've already found. I mean, if you can't have Ken Starr with $70 million trying to find as much as he can, and the only thing they can find is a little stain on a blue dress someplace. Yeah, I think your perspective of that is 100% completely correct.
Yeah, that means those two are probably cleaner than any of us.
Probably are.
Yeah.
Probably are, but God knows for sure.
Yeah.
God knows for sure. Hey, listen, Guy, I'm sorry I'm not as informed as I would like to be when I call, but you have a great day, and I will continue listening to your show, sir.
Hey, thanks very much for a good call.
Thanks.
You know, the disconcerting part of this whole mess, and this Scooter Libby trial, is we're starting to find out, if you watch Tweety Bird, if you watch Matthews last night, and, you know, this Russert thing, and MSNBC is at the heart of the matter in this, with Russert and Meet the Press and NBC and all that, we're finding out dirty little secrets about the press that are really disappointing. And I think we probably all knew this in the first place, but we're finding out that there's this little club in Washington, and the press is part of it. And, you know, we know that Russert is Cheney's bitch. We know that Matthews is, he got a call from the vice president's office. And we know at least a half a dozen other ones that got called. That's the way it goes, isn't it? They all know each other. They see something one of these guys doesn't like, and they call up and raise hell with the producer, with the host himself. And, well, you know, Jack, I'm sorry, I'm a little bit overzealous with what I said, and, I'll make it up to you next time around. Yeah, it's beginning to look like one big incestuous club here with the press deeply involved in it. And that bothers me. That really does. I understand the guys in the press and the media, they're the insiders and all that, but here they've had all this damn information all along. They had this information about Valerie Plame and Ambassador Wilson and didn't share it with anybody and kept it close to the vest. And the reason is because they don't want to lose their sources. And I understand some of that, but the whole thing. Anyway, on the Lair News Hour, they featured Tim Rutten, and he's a media critic of the L.A. Times and another media observer, to talk about the Libby trial and what it reveals about the way journalism is practiced in Washington. And our good friend Digby sent me this, said, I thought Rutten nailed it. Well, I read through it, and I thought so, too. Said, why don't you start with an overview? What do you see? Blair says, he said, I think we see a picture of a certain strata of the Washington press corps, which has a certain relationship with people in this administration at its highest level based on access and mutual convenience, and it's not a pretty picture. And the question is, Tim, one of the issues is who talks to whom and when. And some people see this as a question of whether the press, and you've just alluded to this, of whether the press and the people in the government are just too cozy. Play that out. Spin it out for us a bit. Tell me what you see, and how do you see it playing out in the Libby case? Rutten answers, well, I think it plays out in a very interesting way, because if you stand back from what occurred during those months, you have a picture of a number of high-level Washington correspondents, very fine news organizations, who were essentially missing the story in the interest of preserving their access. I don't think that one person in 50,000 really cared what the identity of Ambassador Wilson's wife might or might not have been. I do think that a larger number of people might have been interested in the story of how the White House, especially the office of the vice president, had set out in a systematic way to discredit a prominent critic of the administration's rationale for going to war in Iraq. That's a real story. But it wasn't the story that was being told, because these reporters were willing parts of that effort to discredit Ambassador Wilson. That's the ugly part of all this. The reporters were looking out for themselves. They were not looking out for the truth. They were not looking out at the real story. They knew what the real story was. They knew the real story was the collaboration and collusion inside the White House, between the White House and the vice president's office, to keep the story from coming out. They knew the whole crux of the matter was the start of the war and how it was started on phony information and ginned up information. They knew that. They knew that's where this whole thing balanced on that, and yet they kept it from us, so that they wouldn't lose their sources. What's more important? To get the truth out to the people if you're a journalist, or to protect your sources so you can keep your job? Now, I understand wanting to keep your job. I really do. But at what cost? At what price? How much do you sell your soul for? What is it worth? Mine's worth a hell of a lot more than that. And although I've never been put in a position like that, whether I had to lose a job like in Tim Russert's case, $1 million, $2 million, $3 million I don't know what he makes, but it's a hell of a lot. I've never been in a position to having to choose between that money and selling my soul and my principles. No, I have not. But I've been in a position for a lot less than money than that. In politics, and I chose to keep my principles, and I think a lot of people would choose to keep their principles, but I'm sorely disappointed in the press in Washington, D.C., the press corps, knowing what they knew and keeping it from the public in order to keep their fat, cushy jobs. It's a sickening situation. It really is. Oh, my. Let's take a little break here, and we'll be back in just a moment or so. You remember that story about Reverend Haggard out in Colorado Springs? What an interesting thing that ended up to be.
He says he went in for 3 weeks of intense counseling, and now he's completely heterosexual. Do you buy that?
Well, that's the quickest therapy I've ever heard of. You know, it's hard for me to imagine someone who is performing oral sex and saying that he's straight. That just doesn't jive.
Do you believe at one point he was?
Remember their faces. Remember their names. The Republicans in the United States Senate. A majority of Americans oppose escalation in Iraq. Yet instead of allowing a vote on escalation, the Republicans blocked the debate. They're willing to send tens of thousands more troops to face danger in Iraq, but they don't have the courage to face a vote. Tell your senators, stop the escalation. MoveOn.org Political Action is responsible for the content of this advertisement.
Thank you.
here we are back. 7 minutes until the hour. You still have time to give us a call if you like. 866-546-5254. Plenty of time to get in a meaningful call if you like. Hey, following up on that story we were just talking about the incestuous relationship between the Washington Press Corps, obviously the incestuous relationship between many of them, especially the high rollers. I wanted to pass this on to you. We see the ever-vigilant and, what's the word I'm trying to think of here? I'm talking about Lou Dobbs. He's so sanctimonious nowadays. I like Lou Dobbs. I do. I agree with much of what he says. I wish he'd get off this campaign of his about the immigration. I'm tired of hearing about it from him. But in some ways, he's an intelligent guy. He is. But to follow up on what I was just saying about the collusion, evidently, between the press corps and the administration, CNN drops story on multi-billion-dollar contracting scandal. Lou Dobbs pulls story on diversions of billions from America's middle class. This story, this is yesterday, Petaluma, California. Primetime news program, Lou Dobbs tonight dropped an investigative story exposing the diversion of billions of dollars in federal small business set-aside contracts to some of the nation's largest corporations. Damn big corporations, they find a way to even get the small business money. And defense contractors, just hours before the segment was to air on CNN. As part of Dobbs' series, The Attack on the Middle Class, the show's producers spent several weeks researching and filming the segment featuring Lloyd Chapman, contracting expert and president of the American Small Business League. During his interview with CNN, Chapman discussed a series of 13 federal investigations by the Government Accountability Office, commonly known as the GAO, Small Business Administration Office of Advocacy, and the SBA Office of Inspector General that found billions of dollars in federal small business contracts were diverted to Fortune 500 corporations. The Bush administration reported these contracts awarded to firms like L3 Communications, General Dynamics, Halliburton, and major CNN advertisers, Boeing and Lockheed, as small business awards. CNN producers told Chapman that the segment had been pulled in the wake of more pressing news stories, but assured him that it would air shortly. After 3 months of waiting, Chapman has concluded that the station abruptly pulled the story to avoid embarrassing its major advertisers. CNN is never going to run the story, said Chapman. I think they pulled it because it was unflattering to its major advertisers, Lockheed Martin and Boeing. The latest government figures report Boeing with 37 federal small business awards. Boeing, we're talking about. With 37 small business awards totaling $495 million, Lockheed Martin receiving $223 million. It's sad, isn't it? These people get billions of dollars from the federal coffers, and yet they got to get in and scrounge around and get the small business contracts as well. And the story is pulled from CNN. Why do you think it was pulled from CNN? I know why I think it was pulled from CNN. Sometimes we wonder if there's honesty anywhere in government or in big business in this country. It just further points out the fact that, indeed, big business does own the world. They rule the world. They definitely rule the world. And what are we doing about it? What can we do about it? Not a whole hell of a lot, evidently. Well, I don't know. Anyway, I was sad to hear that even Lou Dobbs is participating in that now. Where else did we? We only got a couple of minutes. I hate to open up a whole new subject here. In fact, we can't do that, and we won't do that. But I do want to thank you so much for listening to the program today. We try and inform you on this program every day. We try and get you to think about issues that are important, maybe some that you haven't thought about. We try and get you to look deeply into some of the issues. So many times we're tempted to just look at the surface of some of these issues, and maybe we get in a little deep sometimes on the issues, but I think it's important that we know all the facts and figures when we're out talking to people. I think it's very important that we know just exactly what we're talking about. And I think it's important that all of you know what you're talking about. And I know our audience is supremely well-informed. I can tell by the phone calls we get, the emails, the letters we get. I can tell that you folks are right on the ball. And that pleases me every day to know that I'm talking to a group that where being informed is important. It's vital. It's very vital to you folks, and I just want you to know I appreciate all your comments and so forth that we get every day. It's important to me that we're trying to do the right thing here on the program, here on the Head On Radio Network. I think as we're down to about to the end of the program, I better shut up and get ready to say goodbye. We want to thank you for listening today to the Guy James Show here on the Head On Radio Network. Please don't forget we're a listener-supported program at theguyjamesshow.com. Thanks for listening, folks. Do remember, you've heard from the radical right. Now all that's left is the truth. See you next time.